Lecture 8, The Spartans.
Hello, and welcome to this, the 8th lecture in our series on ancient Greek civilization. In the last couple of lectures, I've been trying to make the case that from the 8th century onwards, the Greeks underwent a series of very profound changes which would help to dictate the course of subsequent Greek civilization. Among these changes, we looked at the growth of trade and colonization, the writing down of epic for the first time, the growth of city-states, and also at the same time, the growth of a pan-Hellenic idea, which finds particularly vivid expression both at Delphi and Olympia. These rapid and dramatic developments also led to great tensions within the emerging Greek city-states, the new Greek communities. These conflicts were sometimes between regional groups, they were sometimes between different aristocratic clans, and some of our evidence suggests that at times these conflicts may have involved entire classes, the wealthy versus the poor. So endemic was this kind of civic violence, known usually as stasis, that it afflicted virtually every Greek city-state. And as a result, many states were forced to deal with this problem. But because there were so few mechanisms politically for resolving these problems of violence and conflict, what happened in many parts of Greece was that unelected leaders, whom we call tyrants, simply seized power. Their control of the various Greek city-states was sometimes, in fact, beneficial, because on many occasions they brought, during their rule, 10, 20 or 30 years of relative peace and harmony to the Greek city-states. And we'll be looking in a later lecture, in particular, at the career of Pisistratus, who resolved many of the conflicts of archaic Athens simply by virtue of his 40-year rule. But today, instead of looking at Athens, which we're going to concentrate on in many lectures in this class, it is really the core of Greek culture for the classical period, I want to turn my focus aside and look at one of the other Greek city-states, Sparta. And the reason for this is that, eventually, Sparta and Athens would come to represent two very different and conflicting trajectories in Greek culture. Sparta would follow a very different course, not just from Athens, but from most of the other Greek states. And the kind of society that it would create, though it grew out of a response to stasis and conflict, would look very different, would be organized very differently, and would have institutions which were quite unique in the Greek world. Sparta is going to look alien not only to us, it looked alien to the Greeks as well. It created, finally, a rigidly hierarchical society, a society that was dominated by a warrior elite, and therefore in some respects looks more like Homeric society than any other Greek place. And in particular, it is a remarkable social unit because it is one of the few areas of Greece that physically and politically dominated, to the point of enslavement, its neighbours, in this case Messenia. So in this lecture then, I want to concentrate on Sparta and to look at how its history took the shape that it did and what it was that was particular and peculiar in the institutions of the Spartans. Well, in the first place, and this is a point that is not usually made in textbooks, but I think an important one, down to about the 6th century, Sparta really has all the hallmarks of a typical Greek society. It was, in fact, up until that time, quite an open society, measured in terms of having flourishing arts and being quite sophisticated in many genres. We have wonderful poetry from the archaic period that comes from Sparta, particularly associated with Tyrtaeus, who tells poems of war, and Alcmaeon as well, whose poems show for us Spartan choruses of young women performing in competition in honour of the gods, choruses often answered by a single voice. And these poems and the competitions that go with them are really quite extraordinarily beautiful choral contests and attest to a very lively poetic tradition in archaic Sparta.